Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
We read before the prayer in John chapter number 8 where Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people. And of the multitude that he was speaking to, there were many that believed. And then he addressed those that became believers. And he said in verse 31, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Where the word says disciples, if you would translate that, disciplined ones, and then read that part out loud with me. Ready? Read. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciplined ones indeed. Why? Because it takes discipline to continue in the word. It takes discipline to continue in the word. That there's a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. Many believe, but they're not disciplined to the word of God. So Jesus here is clarifying that those that will stay disciplined to my word, they will know the truth, and the truth will not set them free, because that's technically deliverance. They will be made free, which is the truth of freedom. And I want to talk today about freedom, because I don't know that we really understand biblically what it means to be free. And I want to show you and continue in this vein we've been in with the children of Israel, which become a perfect illustration of freedom. When you look at their history of being in Egypt for 400 plus years and God bringing them out, I want to go back and look at Egypt and this example of the children of Israel being brought out of bondage. That's what Egypt was. It was bondage in Scripture. Egypt represents bondage, but not just bondage, but also the bondage of sin that Jesus makes us free of. Hallelujah. So if you would, let's turn back to the Old Testament, and let's just go ahead and start in Joshua. We're going to be spending some time in Joshua, and we're going to be spending some time in the book of Numbers. If you would, go over to Joshua in the first chapter, because Joshua is a man that God is going to raise up who was Moses' minister for 40 years, and he's going to use Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. We know the land of promise as the what? Promised land. Hallelujah. He's going to lead them into the promised land. In God's mind, and according to God's promise, the promised land is the picture of perfect freedom, perfect liberty. It was God's plan for his children from the time that he formed the nation of Israel under Father Abraham. When he came to Abraham from the very beginning, the patriarch, he told Abraham that he was going to give his descendants a land and that this land would flow with milk and honey. He prophesied to Abraham and let him know that his descendants would go into captivity, that they would go into bondage, and that they would serve the Egyptians 430 years. If you've ever seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, then you know what I'm talking about, all right? God's people were in bondage. God sent Moses into the land of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of that bondage. But what you may not know if you've not studied the word in detail is that even though God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were still in bondage in their mind. They were brought out and relocated physically, but they never became completely free because they always had that Egyptian bondage oppressed mindset in their head. And I want to show you in the word today that until you are spiritually, physically, and mentally free, you have not known freedom. There are a lot of people that have been delivered, but they don't know freedom. And there's a difference between being delivered from something and being free of something. And I want to show that to you in the Word of God. So God raises up this fearless leader, this man of faith by the name of Joshua, because Joshua was one of two spies that believed God could actually bring the children into this land of promise. When God sent the word of the land of promise to the children of Israel, it was rejected. They didn't believe that God was able to carry them into this land that flowed with milk and honey. They sent all their people in to scope out the land to see whether or not it could be taken, and they came back and they said, look, they're like giants and we're like grasshoppers. They will squash us. We better go on back to Egypt. As a matter of fact, they were so determined to go back to Egypt, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 14 that they even began to elect a captain that would take them back to Egypt. They thought they were better in bondage than they were in the wilderness, taking God at his word. So God raises up this fearless leader by the name of Joshua, and Joshua is going to be the one to take them into the land of promise. Now, as I set this up, I want this to be something that you can apply to your life. I don't want this just to be a Bible story that you heard, know the facts about, and walk away. If you can't apply this to your life, then it didn't do me any point in ministering. It needs to be something that's relative to you. And what I want to do to kind of give you a way to apply this to your life is I want you to see the promised land. I want you to see the promised land as your freedom. And in whatever area of your life where you believe in God to be completely free. This is my definition of freedom. Based on that, taking free and dom, short for dominion or domain, this is my definition of freedom. Free to have dominion. Free to have dominion. That's what the promised land was. It was a land where the children of Israel were free to have dominion. No dominion would be exercised over them. They would no longer be oppressed. They would no longer have a wicked ruler that would use them for his own gain. They were free to have dominion. It was a place that God prophesied in Deuteronomy where they would have their own houses and drink from their own wells and eat from their own crops and pull fruit from their own fruit trees. It was a place of a land of promise where they could worship God in spirit and in truth, where God's blessing would overwhelm them in that land. It was a place where they were free to have dominion. Listen, it has never been the will of God for anything to have dominion over you. When God created man in the first place, the first gift that he gave man was dominion. Genesis 1:26, God created Adam, put him on the planet, and he said, I give you dominion over everything that creeps, crawls, flies, swims. That includes roaches, man. He had dominion. All right? He had complete dominion over everything. But he lost that dominion when he sinned against God. That was the first thing given, and it was the first thing lost. That's why it is the premier message of the Word of God. It's what Jesus came to restore, to bring man back into the kingdom of God, back underneath the king's dominion. It is what we pray for when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy help me. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm surrendering to only the dominion of my king, only the dominion of my Savior, only the dominion of my God. I am free to worship him. I am free to live for him. I'm free to receive his best. He came to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. And this freedom that Jesus gives, hallelujah, is a freedom where your past has no power over your present. It's a freedom where your history has no authority over your destiny. God took a people that only knew bondage, that only knew slavery, and he brought them out with great powers to take them to a land of ownership, a land of dominion where they could represent his kingdom in the earth. But you know what? It's so sad that the children of Israel came out of Egypt physically, but they never came out mentally. And there are a lot of people today, church, listen to me. There are a lot of people today that have been relocated, but they've not been made free. Changing your zip code does not make you free. Changing, you know, your location does not make you free. There are a lot of folk that have went from city to city trying to find freedom, but haven't found it. You lived in Atlanta. You moved out to Dallas, went down to Houston, back in Shreveport. Pastor, I'm just searching the will of God. Honey, you can't escape yourself until you find freedom in your mind. There is no city that's going to make you free. You can move here, there, and yonder and be physically relocated, but until you are free in your mind, you don't know freedom. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were translated but never transformed. They came out physically, but they kept the same mindset. They were still in their mind oppressed. They were still in their mind victims. They were still in their mind the tail and not the head. In their mind, they were still beneath and not above. In their mind, they were feeble and weak and had no courage because they had been under such hard adversity and oppression for so long that they had adopted the culture of brokenness and poverty and defeat. They had a victim mindset, and God was sending them out to be victors. He was sending them out to be the head and not the tail. He told Moses, he said, my presence is going to dwell with you in every nation. In the earth is going to fear you because they're going to know that I am with you and that I am the Lord your God and my presence will go with you. But yet, you know what? When he brought them out of Egypt, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 13, y'all got time for me to share a little bit of this in Exodus 13? The Bible says they came out and they were dressed for war. Man, they had their battle clothes on. They're leaving Egypt, and they're all dressed for the battle like, don't you mess with this. Can't touch this. We're going to advance. Don't come against us. But guess what the word says? Even though God had brought them out of Egypt and they were dressed for battle, God says this in Exodus chapter 13. You can put it in your notes, verse 7. He said, I had to detour them to the land of promise, verse 17 of Exodus 13. He said, I had to give them a detour. Let me say this. They could have got to the land of promise in 40 days. It took them 40 years. That's a long detour. But Exodus 13, 17 sheds some light on why. I know you're in Joshua, stay there. But Exodus 13, 17 is going to set up Joshua. You'll know while we're reading Joshua when I share with you Exodus 13, 17, because God was leading them to the promised land. And he said, I can't let them pass the Philistines. I could take them on a 40-day journey and have them there, but they'd have to go through the land of the Philistines. And he said, if they go through the land of the Philistines, they will run back to Egypt because they don't know war. They're not ready for war. God said they're dressed for a battle, but they would run from it if they were ever confronted with it, because in their mind, they're not fighters. In their mind, they've been stripped of their courage and their confidence. As slaves, they have been treated as nothing. And in their mind, they're still nothing, even though God is saying, you are the apple of my eye. You are my chosen royal priesthood, and I have called you, and I have blessed you, and I have delivered you. And even though the word of the Lord was strong over them, they still had a broken, defeated mindset of themselves. And so God said if they saw a war, they would run from it. So I've got to take them on a 40-year journey. I've got to keep them on the outskirts, because if they dare get close to conflict, they'll run right back to Egypt. I wonder how many of you today could have already got to a place that God called you to, but he's had to take you on the long route because you weren't ready to overcome some things that would have come on the short route. Some old mindset, some old ways that needed to have died already are still present in you. Listen, you can be delivered physically, but until you've been delivered mentally, you don't know freedom. Psalm 105 verse 37 says that when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person among them. I know you saw that Ten Commandment movie where they were all laid out on stretchers, you know, and they just kind of, you know, all the ones that were walking, they were barely moving, getting up out of Egypt. That is not what the Word of God says. The Bible says their eyes were not dim. Their bodies were not weak. The Word says in Psalm 105, 37, there was not one single feeble or weak person among them. Physically, that's what God had miraculously done, but mentally they were weak. Mentally they were weak. Physically strong, mentally weak. And they get there at the threshold of the land of promise. A land that took them 40 years to get to, a land that flows with milk and honey. A land that God had promised them 400 years earlier. And God said, this is your land. They get right out there and they said, we better send somebody in the land and see if we can take it. And so they sent in a little spy party. And they went in to check the land out. And Numbers tells us what's happened, but Joshua and Caleb were the only two over the age of 20. They came back out of that land and they said, we can take it. Let's go. We can take it. We got this. The rest of them said, no way. They're giants. We're grasshoppers. And they wouldn't go. So in Numbers chapter 14, God says, oh, since you wouldn't take me at my word, since you despise this land that I gave you, he says, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness and you will never see that land of promise. He said, oh, but by the way, your children whom you said would be prey, he said, them I will raise up and they will take the land. So when Joshua takes the land of promise, it was Joshua, Caleb, and everybody under the age of 20 that God gave the land of promise to. Listen, don't discount these future generations rising up. God is raising up a new generation that's going to take him at his word. Now don't be old saying, man, why didn't he say something about me? Well, we're the ones, not we the ones, I'm still 22, but understand that there's got to be somebody to impart that word to, amen. So with all that being said, watch what God says to Joshua in chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. Verse 5, watch this. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Come on, somebody. Joshua had served Moses for 40 years, and now he was the prime candidate to lead the children of Israel right on into the land of promise. But God, notice what he says to Joshua. He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very what? Courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He's saying, Joshua, what got you to this place is what's going to keep you in this place. Don't move to the left. Don't move to the right. Keep your mouth speaking my word and keep your heart meditating on what I said. Let the faith in you be bigger than the fear on the outside of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What can you do with a man that won't quit? I wonder how many folk have not seen their promised land because they gave up too quick. They quit when the going got tough. They quit. They gave up. Listen to me. If you're in a position today to hear this word, then you need to know that God is speaking to you today through the avenue of his word. You've got to make a decision. No, I want to receive God's perfect plan for my life, his plan for my marriage, his plan for my children, his plan for my future. And if I'm going to do that, I've got to make a decision to be disciplined to his word, continuing in his word, that this truth of this word will make me free from everything this world wants to use to bring me back into bondage. Amen. So watch what he says in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, don't you speak anything I didn't say. Come on, somebody. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's saying, you better speak my word. You speak my word. Don't you utter a report that I didn't say. Speak my word. You'll understand why this is so important here in a minute. Remember what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. Then you'll be made free. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Keep that word in your heart. Meditate on it day and night, not just Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Read the rest with me. For and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? That's the third time he's used the word courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now leave your bookmark here in Joshua and turn back a few pages to Numbers. It's right in front of Joshua. You'll see it. Just keep turning. You'll go back to Deuteronomy, then Numbers. I want you to look at Numbers chapter 13. And I quoted those books in reverse order. So let's go to Numbers chapter 13. And I want to show you why God's telling Joshua this. Now watch this in Numbers 13 and you'll see it clearly. If you're there, say amen. Watch what happens here. Verse number 31. Let's go back to verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, referring to the promised land, for we are well able to overcome it. That's what Caleb said, man of faith. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. An evil report is any report contrary to the report of the Lord, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. These some big folk up in that land. We better leave them alone. Verse 33, he says, we saw giants and we look like grasshoppers. And so the children of Israel then lifted up their voice, chapter 14, and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us this land, unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They got a party together and say, hey, we got to go back to bondage. We've got to go back to Egypt because we're better there than this promised land that we can't take. And they said in verse 4, to one to another, let us make us a captain. They said, Moses, we're going to get us a new leader. We're going to get us a leader to take us back to bondage. And they wanted a new captain that would lead them back into Egypt. If you want to go back to the world, if you want to go back into sin, you don't have to look very far to find you a captain. There's going to always be somebody in your life that'll lead you right on back where you came from. If they're not in your life right now, you can look them up on Facebook. They're there. They said, we need somebody to lead us back. Isn't it interesting, their mindset, that God has delivered these people from being under taskmasters, and yet they can't even walk back to Egypt without a leader. They were constantly under the mindset, we've got to be told what to do and when to do it. They had been programmed under that type of bondage all their life. And they said, give us a captain that'll lead us back into bondage. And sadly, there are so many people today that'll fall up under captains and leaders that will only take them right back into bondage that God's already brought them out of. Now come down in the same chapter, because notice what God is saying about this. We'll go to it in verse number 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and older, which have murmured against me. So God said, that's it. You wanted to die in this wilderness? That's what you're going to do. And he said, the only ones that are going to come out are those under the age of 20 that were not numbered for the battle, and Joshua and Caleb, because they believed in faith. Now, ask yourself this question. What from your past is preventing you from walking into your destiny? I was thinking about this because this message, to be honest with you, frustrates me. Not the message, but the need for the message. Because I've seen so many people that would miss God's best because they could not get their past out of their mind. And I was thinking on this the other day, just meditating over this message, and it hit me that the reason the children of Israel here would not go into the land of promise is they just weren't fed up enough with Egypt. To think that bondage was still an option for them. You know, listen, when God delivers you from something and you still got a taste for it, what he delivered you out of, you're not free. They went before Moses And this is in the 11th chapter of Numbers. We didn't read it, but it's in chapter 11, verse 15. They went to Moses, and they said, oh, the fish of Egypt. The fish of Egypt. It was free. It was free fish. I'm being real. It's in Numbers 11. They said, oh, we missed that free fish. Free fish. They owned your life. You were enslaved to the taskmasters and Egypt, and you're telling me you missed the free fish? If you have been sold out into bondage and they give you fish, that fish, excuse my English, ain't free. And then if you think that's not bad enough, they went on and they said, oh, the onions and the garlic. It's in Numbers 11, 13. They said, the onions and the garlic. We miss the onions and the garlic of it. Who in the world misses onions and garlic? Do you know what that would do for your breath, onions and garlic? They said, oh, the onions and the garlic of Egypt. We miss it. And they got frustrated by the bread that fell from heaven. They got frustrated by the manna that fell from heaven. They said, we're tired of this manna. We wish we had the old onions and the garlic and the free fish back in Egypt. God never sent the manna when they were in the wilderness to make them content. Because if the manna in the wilderness would have made them content, they would have never sought the land of promise. Listen, you've got to recognize there are days in your life when God is not going to give you everything he's promised. Why? Because you're not in a place to receive it. He will reserve his best until you get to the place he's called you to be. God does not give us what we want. He gives us what we can manage.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.